So the fact and definition I want to mention to you about the prophetic word. One thing that struck me was that it says one third of the whole Bible is prophecies, a third of it. So some of these prophecies have been realized, right? We have seen it, but some have yet to come. So for example, Jesus born in Bethlehem, that's a fact that we know that has been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus came, he lived, right? He died, and he resurrected. That's also a fact. And the Lord's second coming, that's a fact, but it's yet to be fulfilled. He's waiting for all of us to be ready, right? So he can come back the second time. Prophecies are matters that God required men to know. This is a fact. Just a fact that God requires men to know, and believers should give heed to them. So 2 Peter says, we have the prophetic word made more firm. Like this prophetic word needs to make more firm in all of us, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the morning star rises in your heart. So I want to emphasize on make more firm. We have the prophetic word that's given, but we need to make this word more firm in all of us. So all of you are students, or most of you. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Paul Jen from Toronto. And in my duty as an instructor in university, you know, I often remind students, they have to know the content that we're teaching them, right? So every class I remind them, you have, you know, these are the key concepts. You need to make sure you know well, right? We go through them, but you need to study them. And that's the way you make more firm. That's the way you study for the midterms and the finals. So in the same way, right here, Peter, in 2 Peter, you know, Peter says, we have the prophetic word made more firm. So Peter is saying that we have to develop these spiritual virtues, right? In the divine life, we need to let it advance. Divine life advance in us. We need to let this divine life grow in us. Right? We need to have the growth of the divine life. And this is the way that we, right, as believers, can make God's calling, right, and our selection firm. Imagine the student, they hear my lectures, and they go home and they don't study. I don't think when they showed up, they would do well on the midterms. Because it's not just, the lecture is an introduction. Right? Like the Bible, if you go read it, it may be an introduction to the prophecy, for us to know about Jesus. But we don't spend adequate time to know the life, to know the divine life, within the words, we will not be able to connect, right? The Bible makes sense to us. An example I'll give you from my class is that I have a student from the summer. She was, you know, very, I would say, from a class participation and in some answering her questions in the class, I thought she would do well on the midterm. Okay. But once midterm came, and gone, she did not do so well. I was very surprised. And I think it's because she did not spend adequate time to connect all the theories, analogies, and principles that were presented in the class. And that's important. I emphasize that in the class. So I thank the Lord throughout, you know, the speaking in the Bible, emphasize that we need to come to this word. We need to have this divine life speak to us, right? This divine life needs to grow. Without this divine life to grow in each of you, the Bible would just be a dark doctrine to all of us. It would give us satisfaction in understanding some of the truth, but we would not appreciate any of the prophecies. It would not make much sense to us. It would read it as a story. Just as my lecture may be a story to many students, but if they don't spend time to connect the dots, they cannot understand they cannot apply the principles to real life problems. Okay. So this is what I think Peter, right, in 2 Peter 1:19, We need to let this prophetic word make more firm in each of us. Okay, so we can know, right? This is a way to make God's calling and selection of us firm. Okay, so Lord Jesus also charged us to understand the prophecies. I think I emphasized this already. So this, in Matthew 24:15, I just mentioned this this verse. Right? Therefore, when you see the abominations of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, and he says, let him who reads understand. Okay, so we need to pay attention to the prophecies in the Bible. So consequence of not paying adequate attention to prophecies, he says, the believers may inevitably lose faith, they be deceived by lies, be destroyed because of lack of the knowledge, according to Hosea 4:6, and we will forget about Lord's coming by not being watchful. Have you ever forget to show up for a test or exam? I don't think any of us do, but I had a student, I think she almost forgot in the summer, that she showed up late, about half an hour late. Okay. So there's consequence, right? She lost half an hour of, precious time out of 2 hours. I cannot give her extension on the time because everybody knows the time. It starts a certain time, you showed up, and it ends a certain time. So if you don't pay adequate attention, the prophecies, we may forget about Lord's second coming. Maybe like the 10 virgins or the 10 slaves, right, in Matthew 24, only 5 were chosen, 5 out of 10. Right? Maybe the other 5, they forgot about it. They forgot about Lord's second coming. They weren't prepared. But the first 5 did, so they were chosen. So we want to be those, right, who remembers about Lord's second coming. Okay, so Peter likened the word prophecy in the scripture to a lamp shining in a dark place. Okay, this indicates that this age is a dark place, a dark night. And all the people of this world are moving and acting in darkness. And I think Jonathan will cover more about this. But what encouraged me with this is that, you know, it's wonderful to have this word, the prophetic word, as a shining lamp. I was thinking back to COVID, back in March or February 2020, at least in North America. We observed what happened in Asia, you know, earlier. But when the rubber meets the road, when it hits North America here in March, everything shuts down. You know, confusion, I don't know what I was thinking, you know, confusion, like, what's going on? It was a bit of excitement that, oh, we get to stay home. We don't have to go to office. Don't need to travel. All those things. A little bit of, you know, excitement at the beginning. But then, you know, confusion. You watch news, like all this, these, you know, terrible things, sad things happen. You know, people are dying because of the disease and so forth. But I really appreciated, right, brothers ministering, brothers reminding us to turn back to the Word. It was in the prophecy, in the prophetic word, that made it all make sense. All these things will happen to usher in the Lord's second coming. It became a comfort, right? Not a confusion anymore. It became a seeing, became a vision that some of these things, calamities, plagues, you know, wars, will take place. But they are, you know, maybe part of the Lord's interest in for his coming back. So it's no longer a confusion to me. And so if the believers do not tap the prophecies in the Bible, they will fall into darkness. So we need a prophetic word of the scriptures, the shining lamp to convey spiritual light that shines in the darkness. So we don't read it as mere knowledge, but we really need the divine life, this prophetic word to help us grow. They grow the divine life that's in all of us. Right? We were baptized, we were saved. This life has been given. The gateway has been opened for the life to flow in. Amen. Okay, so that's a bit about the, you know, the facts and definition of the prophetic word. The second point I wish to cover, which is think mainly my burden on for this message, which is how do we take the prophetic word seriously? This goes back to making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. And to take the prophecy seriously means to take the Lord's coming seriously. Now, if I replace the Lord's coming by exams for those students, I'm pretty sure because of the consequence, you'll take studying, you'll take going to lectures seriously. But how are we, you know, when it comes to the Word, how do we think about the Lord's coming? Like, do we take that as a serious thing, or just like, well, I don't see it, I don't know how to think about it, I don't care, you can put it on the back burner, maybe I'll come to it next day, the day after I finish, you know, studying for my three exams, maybe after I finish this semester, maybe I graduate from college, maybe after I get a job, maybe I get into grad school, or, you know, so on. Maybe, I don't know, right? So, to take the prophecy seriously means to take the Lord's coming seriously, which means to take our preparation seriously. Right? We all take midterm exams seriously, I'm pretty sure. So we will prepare, we'll spend time to study. You go to your professors, your TAs, ask questions that you may have. So number one, it has to do with our attitudes. When we come to the Word, what is our attitude? Treating as a duty, because somebody told me I had to read the Bible 10 minutes or a chapter or whatever a day. I had to come do morning revival every morning. So I get up, and that's the first 10 minutes that I do, and then the rest of the time I move on to something else. Right? How are we coming to the Lord? How are we coming to the Word? Something for us to think about. And when we come, do we have, or do we feel the love, right? The one of the songs that we sing, the love of the truth. We feel this love when we read the Word. Does that feeling resonate with you? Where just like, well, I'm just still, you know, semi-tired, I'm like, my eyes are three-quarter closed, but I'm trying because somebody told me I gotta do this. So I kind of doze off, you know, kind of on these 10 minutes, 5 out of 10, I was dozing off, but the other 5, I was able to, you know, get some readings in. Is that how we come? But we don't really have a feeling that the Lord is speaking to us, right, when we come to it. Okay. So we need to, so something for us to think about. Right? I cannot say I'm, even myself at this age, even though I'm saved a bit later in life, but I can start say I'm always successful in feeling, you know, having this feeling of the fervent love of the Lord every time I come to the Word. But the more I do, and the more I come to this type of conferences and events, I begin to see the life in the Word. Yeah? And I come, I really, and now, you know, in our saying that we can really touch the writer's feelings, right? All the writers of the books, how they see the Bible, how they witness the Lord Jesus living, or they actually was with the Lord Jesus, right, when he was on earth. We can really feel the life that they're trying to express to us, but their burden for us to gain this divine life. So may we continue, right, as a to break through, even in our difficulties, to really have this feeling. We feel the fervent love for the Lord, of the Lord to us. So we need to touch the life of the Lord. I mentioned that a bit. And we know that from John 6:33, Right? For the bread of God is He who comes down to us, you know, out of heaven and give life to the world. So we can prove that, you know, the Word is life, it's God Himself, and it's life to us. Okay. And then one more is we need to be full of blessed hope. When we come to the Word, we should have this feeling, right? Blessed hope. In Numbers 6:24, it says, Jehovah bless you and keep you. And then 25 follows, Jehovah makes His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Man, this was my feeling, you know, after I have heard the brother speaking concerning in the beginning of COVID, right, how to expound the prophecies in from the Bible. We feel the Lord is shining, blessing us, because He's allowing us to see why these events are taking place in the world. So it's no longer a confusion, but it's some sort of an assurance. Right? The Lord is guiding us through these situations. Okay, so number two. So first one is we need to consider our attitudes. Second is we need to exercise. Exercises do to be sober and to be watchful. And I'll come back to that a little bit. And be diligent. I think that one speaks to itself, right? We just need to study, need to spend time. We need to pray. Coming to the Word, we need to pray, or even not coming to, but if we have difficulty coming to the Word, we need to pray to Him. Tell Him our challenges, right? I just cannot do it. I am just stuck in my routines, right? I don't enjoy Your Word. Your Word just does not feel, I don't feel the love, I don't feel the life that's in the Word. Right? Through prayer, we can tell the Lord these challenges. Next one is we need to exercise to guard our deposits. Are you coming, you're spending, investing time like this weekend, coming to here. Some are coming from, you know, I'm not from Montreal, so I spend time coming here. But many of you are like this. You're coming from another place to drive or fly here. You're gaining something. Or you're hearing something. But we need to exercise to guard that deposit. And I'll come back to all these later. And comfort. We need to be comfort and remind each other. Okay, so in 2 Peter 1:12, and I really appreciate this, Peter. He's speaking to the believers in this case. Okay? 2 Peter 1:12, he says, therefore, I will be ready always to remind you concerning these things. Okay? These things are the things that we have heard. And then 13, 2 Peter 1:13, I consider it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by a reminder. 14, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle is imminent, even as also our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. Okay, and then 1:15, I will also be diligent that you may be able, after my exodus, to bring these things to mind all the time. Okay, all these reminders, Peter, in all these four verses, reminding you, concerning these things, stirring you up by a reminder, right? Bring these things to mind all the time. I just came back from Asia. I attended a training there in Philippines. I had a roommate from California, and it's the first time, well, I had a roommate before, but this is the first time I actually, you know, share a room, and we actually spend the whole weekend together, more or less. So in this training, we, you know, even after the, like, these messages like this, I was sitting as you in the audience, you know, listening to someone speaking. So I, you know, in after, even after the, all these messages, you know, going to have lunch, dinner, and even back to our room, we were still fellowshipping about what we heard. One thing I was impressed with is it's actually, it's a reminder. in our speaking, in our fellowship. We are reminded. He reminded me, I reminded him of the essence or the content, the burden from the message. But one thing that really impressed me is we are reminded of the life of the Lord. And that's what I think Peter is trying to hear, right? Trying to remind us, remind you of all these things. Turning back to the Word, the life in the Word, right? The divine virtues, the divine life. Yeah, I really appreciated that. And I think that's all what all of us can do, right? You're all here. You guys can be companions with each other. You can remind each other, right? You can remind each other to be sober and to be watchful. You can remind each other to be diligent. Some will be struggling. Some would not, right? The one not can encourage the one and remind the one who is struggling of all these things, the facts that we have heard. You can remind each other to pray, right? I needed that reminder also over the weekend, right? To pray about my issues. Okay? And then we can remind each other to guard our deposits. We all have deposits, okay? So last one, number three, the letter area is living. 1 Timothy 4:2. Not that no one despise your youth. Don't look at that, you are young. That no one despise your youth. You know, here I just, in the living, our living is actually a testimony, right? It's actually just a, you are walking testimony of the life, the divine life of the Lord Jesus that we have received. So in this living testimony, right, what else is better by living out this testimony so that no one despise your youth? And here, I just want to encourage you. I will finish my sharing in a bit. I want to encourage you with a few verses. These are, at least to me, when I read them, you know, in preparing for this speaking, they are reminder to me of the living, these people, these apostles, disciples. Okay. So, and then also a little bit about concerning the Lord's second coming. Okay, 2 Peter 1:16. Let me get there myself. 2 Peter 1:16. We did not follow cleverly devised myth when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And that the one, and then, so this is 2 Peter 1:16. The second one is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians, I'll read it to you. Okay, so here, 1 Thessalonians is by Paul, 2 Peter is by Peter. So in the God of peace, you know, himself sanctify you wholly. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then you also have Matthew, you know, 17:1-2. This is where the Lord Jesus brought the disciple up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Right, so it's basically showing the disciple the a glimpse of the second coming. And finally, Matthew 24:36-39. I'll read this one to you also. Okay, so this one here, you know, it's talking about concerning that day and hour no one knows. This is concerning about Lord's second coming. Even not even an angel of the heaven, nor the Son, but the Father's only. Okay, just at the day of Noah, where so will this coming of the Son of Man be, and so forth. And what impressed me was that, you know, these are the speakings. So the first two by Peter and by Paul, these are just, they're living. They're speaking about Lord's coming to the believers. And then they're kind of reminding them, right, in a way. But they're telling them about Lord's second coming. And then at the end, it's in Matthew, it's Lord Jesus speaking. So this is also his living. But reminding them, you know, that you don't know the time and the day, like in Matthew 24, but be sober. Reminding them what to do, And this is also his pattern, right, to them. So you're now living, don't despise your youth, right? Your living can be a reminder to others. The second coming, right, to each other, to the believers, and also a testimony to the non-believers. Right? The Lord Jesus is a living God. So we really need to take heed to the prophetic word, right? Like the first Roman numeral. It's crucial for believers to give heed to the prophetic word. So hopefully I share my burden. I'm, you know, not at all perfect in all these areas, but do want to share all this with you so we can go on together. Right? Take heed to the prophetic word.
So at the end of this session, it'll be time for you all to share, to respond, to overflow from either this morning session or last night. It's not a test, so don't worry. It's not a midterm, but just so something you can consider. Because really, like Paul said, you know, we're all still learning together. We're learners, and we really need one another's portion to complete this speaking. My name is Jonathan. I'm from Montreal, and it's wonderful to be able to host you all again. Last February, there was a college conference here. About a month right after, in March, there was another conference here that was for the high schoolers. So again, there was many high schoolers from Eastern Canada that came, and they also stayed in different families in their homes. But our home, we were not expecting anyone to come. We were not expecting any guests to arrive. And you can say that our living reflected that. Our living reflected that no one was going to come. There was laundry that needed to be folded that was on the couch. There were dishes that needed to be washed still in the sink. Floor that needed to be vacuumed, a little dusty still. And, you know, we're busy, you know, we're all busy, so no time, we're busy, right? Legitimate excuse, right? We're busy, no time for these things. But what happened was, 2 days before the start of that conference, there was a huge storm of freezing rain. So what happens when there's freezing rain is rain down, once it touches on the surface, becomes ice, becomes heavy. Once it lands on the tree, becomes heavy, and those trees fall, those branches fall. Hit the power lines, power goes out, no electricity. Luckily for our place, we were only out of power for a few hours, but there are many families in the community were almost a week, no power. And some who were expecting to host the high schoolers, they could not host them anymore because no power. And so a day before the start of the conference, we receive a message, hey, I know you guys have power. You guys take two. You guys host two. Of course, my wife and I was like, okay, sure, no problem. But I think inwardly we're kind of, gotta get ready. Fold all the laundry, do all the dishes, clean the house. Oh, actually, we didn't even have time to finish it all. So that when those two arrived at our house, they helped us set up. For them, basically. They set their own bed, set their own linens. We weren't fully prepared for their coming. And it was kind of hectic. It wasn't, but in the end, praise the Lord, it all worked out. They enjoyed their time, I think. But now this time, this conference, we were expecting someone to come. We said, okay, we can host one person. And we expected one person to come, and our living reflected that somewhat. We were much more prepared this time in cleaning and preparing the place, getting food for breakfast. The bed was made when Samuel came, right, Samuel? Everything was ready. so we had a pleasant time preparing, hosting him. I think Samuel having a okay time so far. Yeah. So the point is, we're expecting someone to come, our living will reflect that. Our living will reflect that. So, yeah, our burden really is to see, for us to realize, yes, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, And this should cause us to have reaction. How is my living going to be? How is my living going to be for His coming? And actually, in the Bible, it's wonderful. Yes, the Lord, there's many prophecies that the Lord is coming a second time. But actually, in the first coming of Christ, first coming of the Lord, there's many principles and many things we can learn on how our attitude should be, how our attitude should be towards the first coming of Christ. So I'm going to turn first to Matthew chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. This is Matthew chapter 2. So this is the story of the first coming of Christ. And I'll just read the first two verses first. This is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and come to worship him." So these are Magi that came from the east meaning they were far away from the Jewish religion at the time. They had no knowledge of the scriptures, but they saw a star. They saw the star, they realized, oh, this is significant. It means the king of the Jews is here. They had the living vision, but they did not have the backing or the scriptural background or the knowledge of the scriptures. So they just assumed, okay, king of the Jews is here. Where do I go to see a king? Jerusalem, in the capital, right? That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Well, where was Jesus born? You guys know the Bible. Okay, good. So yeah, he wasn't born in Jerusalem. But these ones, they thought, okay, yeah, of course. Jesus is going to be born in Jerusalem because he's a king. So they go to Jerusalem and they ask Herod, "Where is he? We saw his star at his rising and have come to worship him." So there's this group of people, the Magi, who saw the star but had no scriptural background. So I'm going to keep reading in verse 3. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Okay, so these chief priests and scribes, you can say, are the ones that know the Bible the most. Study the Bible, they know it in and out. So the king asked them, hey, where is Christ going to be born? And it seems like they didn't even need to flip to a passage, flip to a portion. But the next verse just says, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written through the prophet. And then they recite the verse. This is verse 6, which is quoting Micah 5:2, the prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So they got 100% on that test. Where would Jesus be born? Bethlehem. And I can give you the scriptural backing. Did it. Good job, right? So there's these Magi, just follow the star, didn't know about the Bible verses. And then there's these chief priests and scribes who knew it right away. It's here, this Bible, this verse. I win. They got it. So then, they're quoting Micah 5:2. In the Old Testament, which is a prophecy that Jesus, the Prince of Judah, would be born in Bethlehem, the King of Judah. So, you would think these ones that know the prophecy, that know the scripture, they hear, oh, something's happening, there's a star. Something's happening in Bethlehem. These random, seemingly random people had no idea about the Bible. They came saying, we come to see the King of the Jews. Something is happening. Maybe even this prophecy is being fulfilled. Maybe it's happening. So you would think, I know the Bible. I know the verse. It's happening. I'm going to go, right? Of course. I want to see this. It's finally happening. This scripture that was written hundreds of years ago, it's happening. I got to be there. Right? What happened? It didn't go. Yeah, these chief priests and scribes, they didn't go with the Magi to Bethlehem. They just stayed in Jerusalem. They had the knowledge, they had the understanding that, whoa, Christ is going to come, and it's happening. There was no living vision. They just stuck to their knowledge, stuck to their understanding, and they missed out on the coming of Christ. So, I'll ask you guys, what do you think it is more significant to have? The living vision, the star, or prophecies, or the Bible? Which one? Yes, okay, the answer is both. Okay. So this is to show in our Christian experience, we can't just have a living vision, because really, every vision that we have, every leading that we have, is backed up by the Scripture. Every leading that we have of the Lord should be accompanied, should be led by the Scriptures. But at the same time, we're getting into the Bible, we're getting into the verses, filled with the truth, getting into the prophecies. Actually, we'll get into some specific prophecies this afternoon concerning the Lord's coming. I really hope you all come for that. But the point of that is not to be chief priests and scribes now. It's not so we can point out, hey, it says here, here, here about the Lord's second coming. But the point is, it should lead us to Christ. This should lead us to love Christ more. This should change our living. We know Christ is coming. If we know the word, we know it properly, then it should have a reaction in our being. Lord, I want to be there for your coming. Make me ready for your appearing. So may we all continue to have this thought that, yeah, we need the word, but we also need a living vision. You know, the chief priests and scribes, even if they actually went to Bethlehem as they follow the Scriptures, you know, once they get to that city, they would have no idea, hey, which house would it be in? Which street would it be in? Which area specifically Jesus would be born? Andrew, you just flew from Detroit yesterday to Montreal, right? You knew the conference was going to be in Montreal, so you flew into the right airport. But then where were you go after that? You were kind of lost, right? So, yeah, we had a series of phone calls. Hey, take this bus to this station and take the metro to this stop. And then once you get out, those directions that you needed to be able to finally arrive to the proper place. So in the same way, we need the Bible, we need the Scriptures to go to the right destination, but we still need to follow Christ by the living star. So we need the Scripture, but we also need the leading of the Spirit. And it's so wonderful that in the book, in the beginning of Matthew, kind of like these two things are separate. There's the star, then there's the living word. Sorry, the Scriptures. But as you can tell by the title of this message, which is a lengthy title, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by giving heed to the prophetic word, the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Basically, that's 2 Peter 1:19. So how do you get yourself ready? By 2 Peter 1:19. Okay. So let's all... I'm gonna read 2 Peter 1:19 again, just so it's clear in the Scriptures. And we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So in Matthew, the two are separate. In this verse, together, you have the word. At the end, you have the morning star rising in our hearts. This is what Peter wanted to show the believers, because actually at that time, in early Christianity, there were already some that were not expecting the Lord's coming. There were already some that were speaking myths, as cleverly devised myths, as Peter called it, that the Lord's not coming. The Lord came once, but he's not going to come again. And these thoughts were spreading. Maybe it affected their living. Maybe one thought like, oh, okay, the Lord's not coming. I just need to live my life. Maybe go to some meetings. Maybe read the Bible. But the Lord's not coming, so there's nothing I really need to prepare for. But Peter wanted to remind them, the Lord is coming. And how did he prove it? Well, first, this is in verse 16. He said he was an eyewitness of the one's majesty. So Peter was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord fully revealed his glory to Peter, James, and John. And so they realized, whoa, there will be a time when the Lord will fully come and manifest his glory. But that's just his account. Maybe you can still say, well, that's your belief, but I don't think that's going to happen. So then why does Peter mention verse 19? Well, it's to show us that actually we can experience the shining, we can experience this rising in our hearts daily. And when we experience this in a daily way, we realize, wow, the Lord is going to come, and I get a little preview of that every day because the Lord is appearing in my being, the Lord is shining in my being, and I love this appearing. So why wouldn't I expect and eagerly await and hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? So I just want to get into these verses more. So here we see that there's the prophetic word made more firm. So as this is as Paul mentioned, we need to make more firm the prophetic word. And how do we do this? Is to pay attention to this word. I think it's just really amazing to see, for me, that really the word is not just letters. The word is not just doctrine. Yes, we need the solid foundation in the word, but you know, this is something we really can experience every day. Even in maybe some of you are attending Bible studies on campus, Toronto, Kitchener, Montreal, anywhere. We're receiving a lot. But my experience has been that, yes, I'm receiving knowledge, but this knowledge can become my daily experience of the Lord. Even this past week, we're getting into Romans 5, and there is this matter of we need to walk in peace and stand in grace. And at the end of the Bible study, I was just so happy that, wow, we can walk in peace with the Lord day by day. We're in peace with God, peace with man, and our standing is in grace. You know, we can always come back to the Lord. He is our standing. He is our grace. And so we have this truth, but this truth is now not just for us to remember, for us to memorize, but even this can be our daily experience. And so this is how we can come to the Word day by day. So when we come to the Word, we really want to help one another to allow this Word to not just remain here, that the Word can come into here, to get soaked in our being, into our heart, and that as a result, we can have the realization that the Lord is so dear, that the Lord is so precious to us. Recently, I was asked, what was my favorite passage or favorite chapter in the Bible? I said, Psalm 119. I didn't say it because it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it was, there's one time, I forgot why I did it. Maybe someone told me to do it. I don't remember. But every day I took one or two verses from that chapter and just took that as my prayer for the day. Took it as my prayer for the day. There's so many wonderful verses. Even in the scripture reading here, it mentions two of them. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130, the opening of your word gives life, light, imparting understanding to the simple. So even these verses, as I was praying them, you know, there's a reaction within. Because there's something within that says, amen. Something within that says, yes, to the word of God. And this is, as a result, this is the word shining. We're shining within, the morning star rising in our hearts. This is how the word can be so living to us, and how the Lord can appear to us every day. just like Emmanuel shared last night, I really appreciated that we can initiate the Lord's appearing to us, meaning that we don't have to wait there. Maybe today the Lord will appear to me. Not coming, okay, maybe tomorrow. But we can take the opportunity every morning. Every morning the Lord is here. The Lord is here. He's waiting to shine, waiting to appear. So maybe in our morning time, it doesn't need to be a long time, maybe just one or two verses. I'm sure we all have a little time for one or two verses. But use that as a prayer. Lord, one verse from Psalm 119 that I really liked was, this is verse 88, I think. Just one phrase from that. Enliven me according to your loving kindness. This was my prayer for a while. Lord, thank you. You love me. Thank you. You are so kind to me. Lord, you love me with an eternal love. And I want you to enliven me today. Will not the Lord answer that prayer? The Lord wants to enliven us. The Lord wants to shine in us. The morning star wants to appear in us. But he needs our cooperation. And so Peter is, in this verse, he's really pointing the believers to their own experience. On the one hand, yes, the morning star will come in the future, maybe the near future, the Lord will come. But what about their living today? If their living today is one full of loving the Lord, full of anticipation for his coming, full of getting into the word, then of course they'll realize, yes, the Lord is coming. A few months ago, I was in a meeting. We were just going around sharing what we're looking forward to the coming months. I think most have shared, I'm looking forward to summer, looking forward to vacation, going back to visit family. And when it comes to this one brother, when it's his turn, he's very serious. He's not joking. He's not saying it as a joke. He just goes, I'm just looking forward to when the Lord comes back and my body is fully glorified. And at first, I was like, "Oh, that's a little much. Why am I so serious?" But later, I really appreciated it. I was like, "Wow, you know, he's still living a normal life. He still has a family. Still has a living. But his living was towards the Lord's coming, and that's how our attitude should be as well." Sorry, I kind of didn't get into the outline much, but maybe we can just read it. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Numbers 24:17 prophesied the coming forth of a star out of Jacob, Christ as so there's actually a line, if you want to look into some verses, there's a line of stars in the Bible. Starting from Numbers 24, there's a prophecy of Christ coming as the star out of Jacob. Then in Matthew, again, there's the star that is rising. Okay, let's continue with A. In our pursuit of Christ, we need to be led under a heavenly vision within and guided by the word without. Because the Magi were not grounded in the word, they went to Jerusalem to their natural concept when the king of the Jews would be born. Although the scribes had mental knowledge of the scriptures and knew Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, they had neither to seek after Christ. B. If we give heed to the prophetic word which shined as a lamp in and see, in the darkest hour of the night, the Lord will appear as the morning star to those who are watchful and looking for his dear appearing. They have been enlightened by the shining of the prophetic word, which is able to lead them. Amen. So Numbers 24, there was the star prophesied. Matthew, the star was the coming of Christ in his incarnation. And in 2 Peter, this star is now in us, wanting to rise in us as the morning star rises in our hearts. I think it's quite evident today that the age is not getting brighter. More and more things are happening in the world. We don't need to get into details. But as it's darker and darker, the Lord needs more shining and shining. More shining. I hope that we all can realize we can be a shining lamp, shining testimony. Really, what the Lord needs today is more that can shine. So that's why in Roman numeral 3, it says, at the beginning of the New Testament, there was mention of only one star in the heavens. But at the end of the New Testament, there are seven stars and seven local churches. So in Revelation, it mentions there's these seven local churches, which are just a group of believers meeting in that city. These ones, they are now a living star. They are now a shining star, shining in the darkness, shining forth Christ. I just want to mention another verse. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians 2:15. It says, that you may be blameless and guileless children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. And the word for luminaries is specific because it's showing that in a luminary, the source of light is not itself. It's not the shining of itself, but actually there's a source, whether from the sun or something else. But so for us today as well, we are just vessels, right? We're just vessels of the Lord. The source is not from ourselves, but we're shining forth this light of Christ in our experience. So this is what God desires today. He wants us to be the many stars, the many shining lamps, shining in a dark place, shining in your home, in your school, wherever city you're from. The Lord needs more shining lights. This is what the Lord needs, and this is what the Lord's expecting when He returns, that there'll be many ones shining. Maybe I could just end with a story. One time, years ago, I went to Germany for a gospel outreach trip. It was a wonderful time. We went to a university to shining testimonies, shine the light. So this university we went to was called, in German, it's Freie University. Freie meaning free. Not in the sense like tuition is free, textbooks, but in the sense that you're free thinking. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression. But you know what they didn't allow? They didn't allow Christian clubs on that campus. They didn't allow ones to, just share the gospel, basically. So this was a pretty dark place. And so we went there kind of like under the radar, just like not trying to draw too much attention, but also wanting to shine forth Christ. So we just go there talking to people. It was not easy, not easy. People we talked to just weren't that receptive. One was even like, what are you doing here? This is a university. People don't believe in God here. So it was kind of discouraging, like, oh man, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. It was kind of hard. But then one afternoon we went to the home of a family that lives nearby the university. They had just recently moved there from Korea. They just moved there from Korea. And finding a place in Germany, apparently, is very difficult. Like that everywhere, but apparently even worse in Germany. It's just very hard to find an apartment, much less one close to the university. So this couple, they were there. And they were just sharing their story about how difficult it was and how they got there. And at the end, we asked them, why'd you do it? Why'd you come all the way to Germany to immigrate here, go through all this struggle to find a place, and now you're here in an apparently godless campus? You know what they said? They just said simply, we're here to prepare the bride. We're here to prepare the bride. So that was their whole view, their expectation. This is what their life was directed for. know, they still had a life to live. They still had a job to keep. They still had a family to raise. But the direction was, we're here for the preparation of the bride. To me, that was very inspiring, that, wow, we can be ones wherever we are, in Canada, in Germany, wherever. We can just be ones living our daily normal life, but as ones eagerly expecting the return of the Lord, and as ones being prepared, as the ones who allow the light to shine in us, as the ones who allow this lamp to shine, be ready for the Lord's coming. So I just want to end with a quote. It says, every today that we have is truly the Lord's grace. Therefore, as long as we have today, as long as we still have breath, we should love the Lord and his appearing, should await his coming, and always take his coming as an encouragement. So may we continue to love the Lord day by day. As long as we have today to love the Lord. Amen.